Chris, thank you very much for coming, Harukana Show. So, first, could you pronounce Zine?
Sure. It's pronounced Zine.
Zine? So Zine. Yeah. Zine. Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
yeah, and it comes from the word fanzine. Fanzine. Mm-hmm. Kind of like magazine, the same pronunciation. But in United States culture, fanzine sort of started as a... just an early response, small publications, pamphlets, folks who were fans of different science fiction novels in the early 20th century.
Early 20th century.
Yes.
So at that time you also have zine about the...
Yes, in different forms. So, the qualifying factors of what makes a zine a zine is that it's a small... handmade often publication, or it's copied. It's not a large-scale media distribution. Often zines can express, the authors of zines express radical or outside the mainstream viewpoints that are censored in the mainstream media. So their content tends to be outside that mainstream, but not always. And so they range in a variety of subjects now. From
sometimes very radical.
sometimes very radical political, yes. That's
yeah,
correct.
Political, yeah. So how were you interested in zine?
I became interested in zines after moving to Urbana several years ago. I had not known about the zine genre, but... I'm a librarian. I went to school to be a librarian, and so this is what I do in my professional life. And so zines are an interesting thing to me as an object to be described and provide access to. It's often a challenging thing because they're not like regular books or articles or magazines. I'm interested in them because of their outside the mainstream viewpoints.
So you were a professional librarian, and you were interested in the
Yes, I am. I got involved in our library here, which houses many zines, while I was in graduate school. And I've continued to do that, along with a couple other friends who are in the same...
So do you make zine by yourself or collect or interesting in some specific topics?
Well, right now we collect whatever we can get for as little money as possible. So we go to zine events like the one we are hosting next week and trade zines that we have made. I have made just one or two small informational zines. One is about our library itself, so we use that to promote our library and try to get other people who make zines to send us copies of their zines. And I'm working on a zine, my first, I guess, real zine on my own for the Midwest Zine Fest. So I hope to have some copies of it to trade next Saturday.
So how did you learn how to make zine? You said before you didn't know anything, but now you can make your own zine. It is easy to...
Well, yeah, it's easy to get started. So there are lots of different ways and formats to make zines. So I think that it helps to have access to some zines or some other people who know about making them. And to learn from one another. That's really there's a large do-it-yourself culture in the United States. So zine making is very much about that.
But usually we cannot see zine in usual library. So where can I see or touch or take the thing.
Well, so depending on where you live, there are zines in libraries, regular public libraries or academic libraries. So many of them have, many libraries do have collections of zines. For instance, in the large cities, it's more prevalent. Where else can you find zines? Well, in local record stores. So independent record stores and bookshops often carry zines on consignment. So a zine maker can bring their zines into a shop and ask the proprietor to stock them and sell them. And often they'll take a percentage of that or something like that. They'll make an agreement about the sale and the cost and such. So our record store, one of our record stores here in Champaign, Exile on Main Street, it's called, has a couple of two or three zines that local folks produce. So that's one way. Others are, there's some independent bookstores and info shops, other sorts of, you know, more outside the mainstream collective spaces, like the Independent Media Center. These centers exist in many, many cities. So these are good places to go and look for zines.
I don't understand what you said, independent bookstore.
Yes.
Independent bookstore means not commercial, for commercial.
Well, it can be a commercial enterprise, but it's not, so you're not going to go to Barnes & Noble, for instance, or Borders Books, which are large chain bookstores, large corporate entities, and you're not going to probably find zines there because they're just not marketable on that large of a scale, or at least they don't, the owners of those chains don't think so. Or they don't want the kind of content that they're going to find in zines to appear on their bookshelves. So so often zines are in not non-commercial bookshops, but those that are not owned by large corporations. Or smaller scale, owned by someone, some person. Does that make sense?
Yes. So in the IMC also, you have very good collection of zines.
We do.
So could you explain about your activities of radical librarian group?
Sure, I certainly can. So the radical librarian group at the Independent Media Center, you know, what makes us radical is I think that we are open to providing access to many viewpoints, and you certainly find that in other libraries as well. And I think that the library profession is certainly one that is about providing access to information that they want or need, which is itself kind of a radical act when it come when you think about the conglomeration of media in our corporate culture, corporatized culture in the United States, and how really the large media corporations are very focused on making themselves the only voices that we consume. And so providing an independent space where, you know, you or your neighbor or, you know, that guy who lives in the corner under a box, you know, we all have ideas and viewpoints and deserve to have a space to, you know, hear about those things or read about other people's viewpoints. And so that's really what the Radical Librarians group is about, is we have this collection of zines and we have a collection of books as well that have been donated. And many of the topics are on, you know, just a variety of subjects of interest to independent artists and media activists and other folks who are just living in this community.
Well, like what kind of topics? I saw the 2 weeks ago in there some small exhibition at the book sale in the IMC. You showed some many kinds of zine on the table.
Yeah.
There's so many kinds, health and race and science and...
Sure. So there are many there are many different subjects, and I couldn't possibly list all of them right now, but many zines, many zines are about, like, a typical fanzine to connect to the, its origin is about written by someone who's a fan of a particular band or group or genre of science fiction genre. That's how that started. So in the 1970s and 80s, you know, many independent bands, were given... they produced their own zines to promote themselves because they couldn't get, you know, airplay, or they couldn't get articles written about them. So it's a very independent, underground-type movement that was based on do-it-yourself, self-promotion, because other large-scale companies weren't going to help promote them.
Uh-huh.
And they were very successful at it, and many of them became actually... larger scale magazines that made money. So in the IMC library, we have lots of different kinds of zines. So we have zines that people write about themselves, a personal zine. They just write about their lives. We have DIY zines. So there's several a collection of how to fix your bicycle. Is a popular topic, or cookbooks is another popular topic. You know, how to make vegan food, for instance, is very popular in the cookbook area. There are zines about health and sexuality. There are zines about sex itself. There are zines about all different subjects. So you name it, you can find it. And there are a lot of zines about... LGBT or transgender issues. So really, those folk, if you have an idea about what you might want to read, there's probably a zine about it.
So what you said about corporate culture. And the corporate culture
means... Sure, I can speak to what I meant by corporate culture, corporate media. Zines themselves are what I would call a response to that large-scale corporate culture. And what I mean by that is that, at least in the United States and in other countries, I'm certain as well, that companies, large companies that produce media messages on the radio, and, you know, on radio stations and on television stations and on the internet... large-scale media companies have a voice that represents their own interests, right? And so what I mean that zines are a response to that is that they provide a different type of voice, a voice that is often not heard in those corporate streams of media. So zines tend to be distributed and produced in sort of underground-ish networks, so by the postal mail, for instance, or in bookstores where not everyone likes to go, or might go, they tend to serve the information needs of people who are outside the mainstream. And as we know, the mainstream culture can very much exclude some groups of people. So zines represent alternative viewpoints, and people use them to get their voices expressed when that corporate media doesn't allow it or censors it. Does that help clarify it?
Yeah, very interesting. And could you explain about the Midwest Zine Fest?
Yeah, absolutely.
Exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. So this is... our group won a grant last year from the Urbana Arts, Public Arts Council. The city of Urbana provides some funding for initiatives that your groups can apply for some money. So what we have done over the last year or so is to do workshops with different groups, making zines and promoting zines. And mm-hmm. the Midwest Zine Fest is the culmination of that effort from that grant initiative. It's the first ever Zine Fest in Urbana, at least in the last 10 years or so. We've researched it, and I don't think that there's been been one in the past. So a Zine Fest is a gathering of people who like to read and people who make zines. Mm-hmm. We will come together. We will trade zines and talk about them, and people will be selling their zines. And we'll have speakers who have written zines in the past, and workshops as well. So it's kind of a celebration of uh-huh. all this culture around zines.
So any person can come?
Any person can come. Mm-hmm. It's free and open to the public. Mm-hmm. We will solicit donations, but yes, there's no admission fee. If you would like to exhibit, if you have zines to sell, and you want to do that officially on a table, there is a charge. And so some people... But for anyone who just wants to come and hang out, hear a presentation or a talk, there's a lot of exciting things happening.
So I can learn the skill of how to make zines.
You certainly will be able to, yes. One of the workshops will be open zine making.
In the
zine library. Mm-hmm. So just anyone, we'll have volunteers there just working on different zines and the supplies and things to do that. We'll also have one of our featured workshops is to learn to make a linoleum block cut print. So a block that is inked and that you can use to make an art print on your cover. And there's a variety of other workshops that'll be happening too. So yeah.
Yeah, very interesting and exciting.
If you want to learn to make a zine, you'll definitely be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Thank you again, Mugiko, for having me on your show, and I hope to maybe read some Japanese zines in the future.
I will bring. So thank you.
Thank you.